Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Ever since I heard it for the first time just a few years ago, I've loved the analogy that Advent is the season of the church's flat tire. Advent is the season of the church's flat tire. In that the world goes on barreling down the highway, racing like crazy toward Christmas. But the church is different. The church is different. We are forced to stop, to be delayed, to wait. We are in the season of the church's flat tire. So then, as we are delayed, we reflect, we prepare, we mend, and we wait. Graciously, sometimes impatiently, we wait for the coming and then for the second coming of Jesus into the world. We want, we desire the payoff of Christmas, even if it means ignoring the preparation and patience of that. So today, friend, we wait. In our flat tire moment for this second Sunday of Advent is to focus on the gospel of the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah called the gospel of the Old Testament because so much of its words are in direct reference to Jesus. So if you would like, I invite you to follow along in your booklet. We're going to, the passage from Isaiah is on pages 7 and 8. This portion of Isaiah's prophecy begins with, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Now, immediately in this passage, we can see that it is going to be all about Jesus. We see this because we live on this side of the cross. We know this to be true because in what was considered dead, that is a stump, what was considered dead was actually the kingly, worldly lineage and heritage of David. That is the stump of David and Jesse. Well, this lineage, this kingly lineage even, was dead because of sin and disobedience, and was now in Isaiah's time in ruin and in exile because of the continued generations who no longer listened to the Lord, who no longer followed his way. And it is from this formerly grand tree will come a new root. This new root will come, and this new root will bear even greater fruit than before, and will bear real fruit. Now, the Gospel of Matthew, we know because we've read it, it tells us that Jesus is of the family line of David and Jesse through his own earthly father, through Joseph. But we Christians know to be of the kingly lineage, not because of his heritage and ancestry, but because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the only one who is truly sovereign, and the only one who is worthy of such praise. And as a reminder, we can go back just a couple of weeks ago to Christ the King Sunday, when we learned from the Old Testament that we do not need a king like the other nations, because we have the true king. This is the kingly lineage that Jesus will bring when he comes into the world, that is far more perfect than even the royal lineage of David and Jesse. This beginning verse already tells us the importance of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The divine come into the world, the Word become flesh to provide the fruit for our salvation. And then the next verses tell us what he brings when he comes with him into the world. In the great Trinitarian continuance of creation at Genesis 1, we continue to see now the presence of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Isaiah tells us that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That is Jesus when he comes to the earth. And it is because of this presence, this Spirit, that Jesus brings with him the perfection of wisdom and understanding, the perfection of counsel and might, the perfection of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the perfection of what judgment really is. He brings all things that we desire but cannot provide in ourselves. Jesus makes all things right between man and God, especially those of us who suffer in mind, body, spirit, and in soul, and that is to say, all of us. And winning for Jesus, his death and resurrection, is losing to the world. But in his losing, we all learn how to lose well. We learn humbleness and humility, because that is what Jesus gives us when he comes into the world. We see the importance of the incarnation from the very first words of this prophecy. And Jesus comes to us then, clothed with righteousness and faithfulness, in words that immediately bring to mind what St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, when he writes, "For all of the people to put on the whole armor of God, having the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth, both given because Jesus himself is belted with the same gifts from God." In this prophecy of Isaiah, we are also reminded of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul writes of in Galatians. Again, the great gifts which come from the incarnate Christ who comes into the world. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus brings and he creates righteousness on earth for all and for all creation. And then the next verses, 6-9, tell of nature's reaction to Jesus coming into the world. The creatures of the world, since the fall, are subject to the disordered affections of sin and death. But following the righteousness of God, the entire natural world becomes obedient to the supernatural presence of the Almighty. It doesn't make logical sense that wolves and lambs would live together. It doesn't make logical sense that leopards and goats or lions and cows would live together, does it? And it certainly makes no sense that a little child would be the leader of such a troop. It doesn't make logical sense, because we live in a lost and broken world that needs this salvation. Nevertheless, this is the way that God's economy works. When all of nature, including us, his very good creation, are perfectly obedient to God's will, then even a child will be able to play amongst dangerous, venomous snakes. And that perfection of God's will is realized in the perfection of time at the first coming and the future second coming of Jesus Christ. And at that time, and in the glory of heaven, the peace of God will be wholly realized by all. Now we finish this portion of Isaiah's prophetic word. He says, in that day is the day that has already come in the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, and that day will come when he returns. But in that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus himself, shall stand as a signal for all the peoples. The signal that Jesus provides is the signal we read about in Scripture, his cross. The cross where he died, the cross where he hung, the cross that said, "Behold, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This is the signal, a signal that was meant for desecration and humiliation as proof that his way of losing is truly to gain victory. And because of this signal, people will ask, and people have asked for more than 2,000 years now, who is this? Who is this? Jew and Gentile alike will inquire. They will want to know. Who is this? Friends, when the nations ask, who is this? We have an answer. We have a definitive answer. This is Jesus, the Christ. This is Jesus, the Messiah. This is Jesus who shines bright from the glory of his cross. This is Jesus, the only one who could make right the broken relationships that we have with each other and with God. This is Jesus who has come into the world and changes the world simply by his presence. This is Jesus who is going to come again and bring heaven to earth in the full consummation of all good things. This is Jesus, where we find hope. So this, friends, this Jesus is where we find our flat tire moment, where we pause. While the rest of the world is rushing toward Christmas with breakneck speed, we are intentionally delayed. We slow down. We pause. We wait. We reflect. We repent. And we mend through the knowledge and love of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come into the world and who is coming back to the world. Amen.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself a prince of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.